20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us again today. My name is Dan Kotnick. Alongside me, my partner, as always, Chris Schimmel. We are dissecting the aftermath of this past Sunday's game against the Washington Redskins, hopefully moving on from that and burying the tape, sending it back to hell from whence it came, taking a look ahead a little bit today to this Sunday, which I think, I don't know if it was the same for you, Chris, but once it got to a certain point this past Sunday, I was pretty much just at the point, forget this happened. I'm already looking ahead to this upcoming Sunday against Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You have to take these games and put them behind you right away because you can't focus on the past because you have a long season to go. So they need to bury the football. It's dead. The game's done. Move on to Buffalo. It's like what Bill Belichick said. We're on to Cincinnati.
Exactly. We're on to Buffalo / home to Green Bay. We're on to the next one, Jay-Z style. Before we get into that, I know that the guys yesterday did a fantastic job of touching on a lot of the points about the frustration with the roughing the passer, quarterback protection rules, hit on a lot of points that I had as well that I shared. I think they did a great job. If you didn't listen to the episode yesterday, make sure you go back and listen to it because I think they did a fantastic job laying it all out. But at least for myself, and I know Chris wants to join in on it too a little bit, we've got to get our pound of flesh in on the QB protection rule because for me, it hits me a little personally, the QB protection stuff, because obviously it's geared towards everything surrounding concussions and keeping players safe. And personally, in my life, I had a very close family friend who ended up dying as a result of CTE, who played football his entire high school, peewee, college career, and ended up dying very, very young as a result of CTE symptoms. And so it always kind of strikes me a little bit more personally when I see stuff like this. And it's been a little bit harder to watch football in recent years just because of everything that kind of surrounds all of that. And for me, rules like this are kind of a slap in the face to people who are affected by CTE. It's the NFL players, their families, their kids, their friends, fans. You're not out here to protect those players. You don't really care that it's going to cause injuries. It's not about keeping the player safe. It's about protecting assets in the business decisions that go into your football team. Because just
quarterbacks are the money makers.
Exactly. Richard Sherman said they mentioned William Hayes for the Dolphins, who tore his ACL trying to avoid the QB hit. If that's a quarterback, they make a rule to stop that tomorrow. It's not about player safety. It's about protecting the numbers. I mean, that's just it. Aaron Rodgers, your quarterback, has the most guaranteed money of any quarterback in the history of the NFL.
And then Kirk Cousins' contract, fully guaranteed. Jimmy Garoppolo was a short period of time the highest paid quarterback in the league. They keep leapfrogging one another. And it's crazy to think because all these safety rules, they're in there for a reason. However, a lot of the, like Jimmy Garoppolo, his injury, there's no rule that you can possibly make that could have prevented it. It was a non-contact injury. He completely destroyed his knee. You know, and I was listening to a buddy of mine and he said, you know, you saw Cam Newton, you know, he slid and he still got walloped in the head. Jimmy Garoppolo tears his ACL running. You know, he was thinking, what if the NFL comes up with a crazy rule that quarterbacks can no longer run past the line of scrimmage? He said, can't run past the line of scrimmage, so they can't get hit. Throw the ball away. You can't throw the ball past the line of scrimmage. Now you can't run it. What if they come up with a rule like that? Because today's day and age, nothing would really surprise me.
I mean, I'm all for exploring if you want to explore different ways to make the game safer, I am here for that. I am here for ways to make the game legitimately safer. Obviously, it's a very dangerous game, and you're not going to take all of the risk out of it, but I'm here for making it safer. But things like the Clay Matthews hit aren't what you are trying to regulate out of this game. That's a very football play.
Oh yeah, you're going 100 miles an hour. You cannot stop and then calculate, okay, how am I going to tackle him? Because then the quarterback's going to be gone. It's almost like if you're a pass rusher, you might as well just try to grab the ball, or at least grab the guy quarterback's hand, or just bear hug him and not let him go.
Or I forget who said it yesterday. At this point, why not just blast him?
You're gonna get fined anyway. Just blast him. And it's just like what Mike Daniels let him go. He just because he doesn't want to get a fine. And by the way, Clay Matthews wasn't even fined for the hit.
Well, that's because deep down they know that it's not.
Yeah, they're giving him a little sympathy. Right. You know?
I mean, it's a way to bail out GMs that make poor business decisions, investing that much money in one position. Yeah, if you don't want to risk your quarterback getting hurt, don't invest that much money in him.
And they're afraid because they're afraid, the quarterback, because another team, another sucker GM is going to end up paying him.
Right.
And that's
no one wants to get left behind.
No one wants to get left behind. Yep. It's a tough situation for GMs. And it's tough
for fans too.
Oh, like, yeah.
How and tough
fans
is it
are the fans are the real, fans are the real money makers.
Yeah.
All about ratings, man.
Yep. So, all right, let's get off of our soapbox. We got our two cents in. I feel a lot better. Serenity now. We're moving on to Buffalo.
And just for the record, I am not for what my friend said of not allowing the quarterback to run past the line of scrimmage. I thought that was ridiculous, but in this day and age, I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL comes up with another rule.
Nothing surprises me in today's NFL anymore. So we're focusing this week, like you said, kind of on the offensive side for the Packers, especially as it relates to the upcoming game against the Buffalo Bills back in Lambeau after a short little road trip down to the nation's capital. For me, Chris, the thing that stuck out to me on offense this past week, and it wasn't just because I drafted him in almost all of my fantasy leagues and decided to start him this week, is Aaron Jones has made the point that he needs to be the number one running back. And like I said, it's not because I stupidly started him in a lot of fantasy leagues hoping he would have a breakout game in his first game back from suspension, but he has proved to me, I think, to fans that watch the sport and follow the Packers, that he is clearly your number one back moving forward. What do you think?
What does he have to do to prove that he's not? I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, after his first big run, I thought, okay. And then he's gone. What is Mike McCarthy doing? He's proven he's the best back, and it's not even that close, if you ask me.
Yeah.
He ran the ball 6 times for 42 yards, 7-yard average. And I just don't understand, because to me, Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams are not better at him in almost any phase of the game.
I mean, I would say Jamal Williams and
blocking, I understand.
Blocking, pass protection, you could make that argument very clearly, at least for Jamal Williams, but he's a running back. They're supposed to be running the ball.
And I understand that you need a good back in there to block, to put pressure off Rodgers, but actually having the running back run the football will put even more pressure off of Rodgers. Right. So I don't see there's any excuse for Aaron Jones not to be in the game. I expect to see him play probably over 70% of the snaps.
And honestly, even if your idea is to have Aaron Jones come out of the backfield for an outlet pass, and instead of having him stay in pass protection, I will take Aaron Rodgers throwing a short drop-down pass to Aaron Jones for maybe a yard or back to the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah, just throw him into the flats.
Having Aaron Rodgers sit back in the pocket and have Aaron Jones try and pass protect.
Oh yeah, when you have a quarterback that's limited mobily, you need to have a check down. You need to have a go-to guy. And Aaron Jones, give him the ball in his hands in open field, and he's dangerous.
Now, I mentioned to you off air that I had somewhat of a hot take here. Now, I want to preface all of this by saying it's not something that I am saying to go out and do. Okay? I am not going to ever claim that I'm the smartest person in the room, especially when it comes to just pure football knowledge. I consider myself a very big fan. I think that I know a decent amount and a grasp on things.
Well, that's what's beautiful about football, because there's always more to know.
Right, exactly. So I put this out there for you, for the listeners, to tear me down, call me a fool for thinking this, but it came to me today. Obviously, I live in Detroit, and I listen to the local sports station that I work for, and they were talking a while about Amir Abdullah and their backfield. They have a very clogged backfield, and he is kind of facing the same thing as Aaron Jones. Not a suspension, but hasn't played a lot in the first couple of weeks. Very healthy, bringing him back. The New England Patriots just placed Rex Burkhead on IR. I did some investigating. They have three running backs on the roster right now. Not a lot of experience there. They were talking about, do you make the trade to the Patriots? Their running back, Amir Abdullah, to the Patriots. Here's my question. What is the market value or the idea behind possibly sending Ty Montgomery to the New England Patriots? I mean, he actually has, in his career, has almost the same amount of rushing yards as all of the Patriot running backs on the roster now combined in their whole careers. All three of their careers equal Ty Montgomery's career.
If Ty Montgomery goes to the Patriots, I wouldn't be surprised if they turned him into a star.
Oh,
to be
no,
completely
that's the
honest
thing.
With you.
Yes.
You know,
that's the thing. That,
you know what they do with James White, I think the Packers should do with Ty Montgomery, or at least now with Aaron Jones. Put him in the flats. No linebacker can guard him. And to just have a field day with him. That's what I think what would happen.
Now, if you get let's say, at the liberal estimates, you get maybe a third rounder for him, but more conservative, fourth, fifth, maybe a six. Do you do it, Chris Schimmel? Do you make that trade to the New England Patriots?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, I would take it.
Is there a cutoff line? Do you have to – will you say nothing below a fourth or fifth rounder? Where's your ballpark?
If they would trade a third rounder for him, that would be amazing. But
right.
I would say at the very least a fifth.
Okay.
Because Ty Montgomery, you know, he's had injury problems in the past. And – I would just see that, you know, investing in the draft, you can probably get somebody worth more.
And here,
especially with Aaron Jones, you know, emerging as a great back.
Right. You've got Aaron Jones emerging as your lead running back. And there is a depth issue at a lot of positions for this Packers team on offense and defense. And I actually got into it with someone on Facebook the other day where they were complaining about the Packers not signing Khalil Mack after Muhammad Wilkerson went down with that injury. And isn't it silly? We could have had Khalil Mack instead. But now I'm looking at it. I was on the bandwagon to get Khalil Mack, but now those first two first round picks look a heck of a lot more appealing as a top tier offensive lineman or a younger pass rusher or another inside or outside linebacker. I see those draft picks as much more valuable right now than a Khalil Mack in the situation that they're in right now, because there is very clear depth issues. And if you can flip a Ty Montgomery for a third, fourth, fifth round pick, I don't see why you don't do it.
Yeah, I agree. It's always great to invest in the draft. I know a lot of people in the Ted Thompson era got sick and tired of hearing about that, but that's why I've been really paying a lot of attention to the New Orleans Saints. Cause with their trade, when they traded their draft pick, I'm praying that they plummet so we get a better draft pick.
That was I called my dad after I turned the Packers game off with 2 minutes left to go in the game, and he had already left the bar, and he was like, well, at least the good thing is the Saints are losing. And as he says that, the Saints tie the game up and send it to overtime and win.
Yeah, so, and then, of course, they sneak out a win against the Browns, so the Saints are nearly going through.
Every Packers fan, I think, is rooting for the Saints' demise this year. And mm-hmm. So we talked about Aaron Jones, draft picks for some of the depth, and the depth I think clearly needed, at least on the offensive side, for that offensive line. We saw a very, it was very piss poor performance, in my opinion, against the Washington Redskins, against a defensive line that kind of moved them around like deck furniture.
I refer to draft injuries. Yeah, I'm referring to some of their line as a revolving door, especially at their right tackle position. Bulaga is now out with the hurt back. You have Byron Bell, who's going to start. You have Jason Spriggs, who basically got the guy in a chokehold on that holding call you had. And then even their guards, Lane Taylor was beat. The only two players on the line that's been stable have been Bakhtiari and Corey Linsley.
Yeah.
That's it.
Moving forward, I really have no issue finding a replacement for any person on the offensive line outside of Bakhtiari and Linsley. Those have been your two mainstays and arguably the two most important positions on the offensive line, granted. But, I mean, we saw the disruption that it caused this week. And if we look at the game this past Sunday, Vikings and Buffalo Bills, that defensive line for Buffalo with not a ton of star power behind it caused a heck of a lot of trouble for Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, the Minnesota Vikings, they don't have a very good offensive line. Sure. So that's why I felt the Packers were going to really put pressure on Cousins. But if you take a look at the Buffalo Bills, they have 8 sacks this year. 4 of them came against Kirk Cousins. But not only do they sack quarterbacks, but they strip the football. They had Kirk Cousins fumble 3 times, and they recovered 2 of them, one at the 15-yard line and the other at the 25-yard line, which is how they're able to jump out easily to like a 17-point first quarter lead. So it's their defensive front getting great pressure, and of course, they have Tre'Davious White, a shutdown cornerback who I was praying the Packers are going to draft 2 years ago. But then the Buffalo Bills got him 27 overall, and the Packers got Kevin King instead. And Tre'Davious White, who shut down Stephon Diggs, held him to 4 catches for 17 yards on 10 pass attempts toward him. He's going to be on Davante Adams. And Davante Adams, who had a couple of drops in the game against the Redskins and the Vikings, but he's going to have himself a hard time with Tre'Davious White, I think. So, which means that Cobb and Allison are going to have to step up.
I think Cobb, Allison, and then your tight end position as well, because Jimmy Graham doing a fairly decent job coming. He's kind of found a rhythm. They've been able to find a rhythm for him.
And he's the only tight end who has.
That's true. Yeah.
Kendricks, I mean, for God's sake. He had that drop that my fifth grade cousin could catch. Mercedes Lewis, you never see him on the field.
Well, that is the biggest,
because especially because he's a great blocker. So you think, oh, well, if you have Jamal Williams and running backs pass protecting Rodgers, wouldn't you want Mercedes Lewis out there pass protecting?
I mean, that's exactly what I've thought the last couple of games is every time they talk about Aaron Rodgers' lack of mobility due to the injury. Well, it's okay because we got Mercedes Lewis, and the whole talk was Mercedes Lewis is the best pass blocking or run blocking tight end in the NFL. And he's essentially a 6th offensive lineman that can catch the passes sometimes. And he's just not seen the field at all. And it baffles me, especially when a guy like Lance Kendricks is still seeing almost the same amount of reps as a Jimmy Graham almost.
Yeah. You know, and also Tonyan, where is he at? The guy lit it up in the preseason. I know it was preseason, but I feel anybody could be performing better than Kendricks right now.
I agree, and especially because there was that talk of they were running Tonyan out of the fullback position at times near the end of training camp, and could he be some kind of blocking package in there? I know he's played a little bit on special teams, but I mean, I am very not impressed with what I've seen with Lance Kendricks. I was surprised that he kind of stuck around when they got Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, I actually had him being cut.
I would not be surprised.
I didn't have him on the roster. I was shocked. And of course, the Packers offensively, they're not in the top 10 in any statistical category. They're in the top 15 and only two, passing yards and scoring offense. Nothing else. So their offense has just been struggling, particularly in their red zone. They're 29th in the league at 33% in red zone. At this point last year, they were numero uno.
And remember, it was Jimmy Graham coming in to be the
number 10 touchdowns in the red zone. So what's going on with that? And it's, to me, in the red zone, tight ends are your best friends.
Right.
Even more reason to play Mercedes Lewis.
And I think if we've kind of hit on a lot of things with the offense, problems with the offense, and you can talk about depth issues, but overall, the issues with offense so far have been scheme. And it goes right to Joe Philbin. I think that there's been a lack of scheme for the opponent, scheme for the lack of depth issues, especially on the offensive line and the health of Aaron Rodgers. I think that there has been a very lackluster performance from the offensive play calling. And I think that's ultimately what it boils down to, because players can play, and Aaron Rodgers can turn a lot of guys into playmakers with just his talent alone if you put him in the right scheme and scheme around him.
And that's why the first game of the year against the Bears, I feel like they rely so much on him breaking the play down, rolling to his right, biding time, and then holding onto the ball, praying that a bigger play opens itself up later in the down. But then when he got hurt and came back in the game, they said, okay, that's not going to work. Put him in the pistol, short, quick passes. He completed 16 of 17 passes below with 9 yards or fewer. And he picked apart the Bears. And then same thing against the Vikings. Quick, short, good passes. And then Rodgers was saying that his knee was getting better. And I feel that they had too much confidence in it, that they went back to the old stuff. And it hasn't worked out. I think they need to play to their strengths. And right now, Rodgers moving around, biding his time, and creating something out of nothing. They can't rely on that right now.
No, you really can't. And I think right now and moving forward, because with age and injury piling up, you can't rely on Aaron Rodgers to be Magic Man back there.
And I know, anymore. And knowing him, his competitiveness and his confidence, he's going to always think he can.
True.
But sometimes when you're the coach, you're going to have to tell him, no, we're not going to let this happen.
Exactly. So looking ahead again, Buffalo Bills in town this week in Lambeau. It's for me, I'm interested to see Micah Hyde come back into Lambeau, because he was one of my all-time favorite Packers when he was playing with us. He's from my area, my neck of the woods in Northwest Ohio. I got to interview him a couple times working for the local radio station there. And I think it was an absolute travesty that they let him, a guy of his caliber and ability, to play several different positions and know that offense walk. And he comes back in with this Buffalo Bills team and that defense against this Packers offense. So we'll see how that shapes up moving forward. Make sure as we go through the rest of this week, you're following us on Twitter and Facebook, the new Facebook page live as well. It follows the Facebook page has all of our posts from the podcast itself. And then obviously we've got a great stable of contributors that are contributing all around the interwebs and other places, posting all of that. So make sure you're following us on Facebook and on Twitter. Also, of course, subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Cheesehead TV. Follow us everywhere. Subscribe, rate the podcast. It's a huge help to us. Make sure as well that you're following Chris and I on Twitter at DK all the way for myself, and for Chris at Chris Schimmel, KrisSchimmel.
Very good.
Getting better at it. So yeah, make sure you're following us throughout the rest of the week. Enjoy Sunday, maybe with an alcoholic beverage in hand to help ease the pain, because you just don't know what's going to happen. It, obviously, this last week showed anything is possible, because the Patriots can go in and get walloped by the Lions. The Bills can go on the road and beat the Vikings, and the Packers can look like that at any given Sunday. So just enjoy the game as it goes. Chris, any final words before we sign off?
Go, Pack, go.
Short and sweet. It's why he's the best color man in the league. Go, Pack, go. Enjoy the game on Sunday, everyone.
Shotgun formation of 3rd and 15 to the 46-yard line of Dallas. They empty the shotgun. Cobb in motion to the left side. Rodgers looks it over, gets the snap. Backpedals now under some pressure. Steps up, throws it over the middle. Good! 30, turns upfield, 25, cutting right to the 20. 15, 10, 5. Devontae Adams to the south end zone for the touchdown. Rodgers looks it over, starts to his left. Now he moves, starts to the right side. Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up, rainbows it high and deep into the end zone. It's high pointed and caught. It is caught for a touchdown. Yes! A miracle. Pass yes! 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 In the end zone.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable. One kick away from the NFC Championship game. From the 41. Left hash mark. 51 yard. Field goal attempt. Snap. Placement. Kick. To the uprights. And it is right down the middle. It is good. And the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
And what a happy bunch of Green Bay.